That's Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Now, as you're finding your place, if you're able this morning, please stand in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. Matthew chapter 16, and beginning at verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Let's pray together this morning, please. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for these sobering words. Thank you for the passage from the Bible that our pastor will come now and preach to us from. Use it to help us today. We want to be better because of being here today. So, Lord, work in our hearts and our lives. Fill our pastor with thy Holy Spirit for this, to accomplish this. Help us to have ready minds and hearts today. And then, Father, if there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they would settle it before they leave this room today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, turn your cell phones off, please, and then we won't have to drag you outside and throw you on the hot pavement. Now, I have to hurry this morning. As I always mention, on Lord's Supper Sunday, it is 5 minutes until 12. We have to finish by noon. I didn't say noon today or noon tomorrow. I just said we have to finish by noon. So listen very carefully this morning. We used this same text last week, but from a different passage of the Gospels. Jesus says, and look in your Bibles with me again this morning in verse 24, "If any man will come after me," and we use that to explain the relationship of a master and his slave. The slave was always to come after the master. Then this morning I want us to take a similar passage, but look at it carefully. I hope when you read your Bibles, you pay attention to the wording of the Bible. Each word. "If any man will come after me," Matthew 16, 24. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." There are three crosses that are important to the Christian. There's the cross that Jesus died upon, where he paid for our sins. He took upon himself sin, became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that cross, the cross of Christ, where Jesus went and gave his life for us, that's important to every Christian. Then there is the cross itself. It's a symbol. It's a representation. If you watch your news much at all and you see Muslim terrorists as they're being prepared and trained to run in and out of buildings to shoot people and things like that, the silhouettes that they're shooting, all of them have a cross on them. Because those Muslim terrorists who hate Christians, they hate Christ, their target is the cross. They know what it represents. The cross itself is a symbol. It's a signpost, as it were. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus was asked one day by a young man, "What must he do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus knew this young man, and he said, "Well, here's what you need to do. You need to sell everything that you have and give it to the poor." And then he said to him this in Mark 10, 21, "And come and take up the cross and follow me." He wasn't telling him he had to give up everything to get to heaven. He was putting something in front of this young man that he knew the young man didn't really want to do. And the Bible said the young man walked away very disappointed because he had great possessions. But Jesus talked about the cross as a symbol of dying to self and living for God. So there's the cross upon which Jesus died. Then there's the cross that's the symbol. And there's one more cross that's important to every Christian. And that's your cross. When Jesus said to this folks that were following him, "Let him take up his cross." In other words, the Lord has a cross for every Christian that they are to bear or to carry in their life. As I've told you before, I was in the Philippines one year right before Easter, and every year in the Philippines, as well as Mexico and many third world countries, they reenact the crucifixion literally. I was going to bring you the video, and I thought, it's not really church appropriate, I don't think. They took a man, and I watched them take nails and nail this man to a cross. It was his 10th or 12th time to have that done. When Jesus was talking about taking up your cross, he didn't mean literally pick up a wooden device of some kind and to carry it. He was drawing an analogy between his cross and the cross he wants you to carry, the cross that you are to bear. So to understand this, what Jesus is saying to the disciples here in Matthew chapter 16, when he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. He drew an analogy between Jesus' cross, what it meant for him to go to the cross for us, and what it means for you to bear your cross for the Lord. What is it? First of all, the cross Jesus went to pay for our sins was the cross of God's will for his life. Dear people, look here. Jesus was not taken by an angry mob and nailed to a cross by a Roman government and hated Jews. That's not the cross. Jesus knew when he came, he knew he would go to the cross to pay for our sins. He would have to be condemned as a criminal, though innocent. I would have to be nailed to a cross and bear the cross on the cross, bear our sins, because it was God's will. It's God's will that Jesus come and die on the cross. He was there in John chapter 4 and sitting beside the well in Sychar, and his disciples had gone into the Samaritan town to get something to eat, and Jesus sat by himself, and a dear lady came out by herself. And when she came out, Jesus talked with her, and she left that place a different woman. And when the disciples came out, they said, Master, we have something for you to eat. And he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. He said, I've come to do the will of my Father and to finish the work that he gave me. Jesus knew it was God's will for him to go to his cross. And ladies and gentlemen, if you take up your cross, it means you must take up God's will for your life. You and I are not here to live, to die, and to do what we want. That's not our life. We are not here to do our will. We're here to do God's will. God's will is found in God's word. If you'll do the Bible, God has told you to live. If you'll live by the book, you know. He'll reveal to you the part of his will that's not in the Bible. But the key is you and I must have a desire to do this. Jesus didn't just come, live, and die by accident. He came to die on the cross. He would even use an expression in the Bible in Isaiah, speaking in Old Testament prophecy, that his face was set like a flint towards Calvary. He was going to go to the cross, and nothing was going to keep him from that, because it was God's will for God's Son to give his life to pay for our sins. Almost so, let me say this to you very carefully this morning. That's why there is no salvation in anything else. You cannot be saved in any other way except accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That was God's will and God's plan, and Jesus willingly, gladly came to go to the cross for us, because it was God's will for his life, his own Son. Ladies and gentlemen, do you have that desire for the will of God for your life? If you're going to take up your cross, you must have a desire and a willingness and a yieldedness and an obedience to the fact that God has a plan for your life. Let him take up his cross. That's Jesus speaking of how that it was his God's will for him to go to the cross. The cross of Christ also represented God's way. First of all, Jesus had to suffer but go to the cross first. He had 6 different trials and judgments and declared innocent at all of them, yet condemned. So he had to go through the judgment of man's rejection and the hypocrisy of others. He had to come into his own and his own receive him not. Jesus had to be beaten, and he was beaten until you couldn't even tell he was a human being. In other words, listen, God's way was for Christ to go through a time of suffering to go to the cross. And at the cross, the suffering didn't stop. It got worse. Then nails were driven through his hands and through his feet, and a crown of thorns jammed upon his brow. And they was hung up naked in a public place like a common criminal, suffering and bleeding and dying. That was God's way for Jesus to go to his cross. However, on the cross, Jesus would give his life. And on the cross, Jesus would dismiss his spirit and die. And on the cross, Jesus would die. And to everybody that was there that day that saw what Jesus did, they thought, well, this just isn't right. Those who hated him enjoyed it. They loved it. He had to suffer the rejection and the difficulty of life to go to the cross, because it was God's way that suffering comes before the great resurrection. After that, 3 days and three nights later, Jesus rose from the dead, victorious over sin and death and hell, but suffering came first. Hey, look at me. A price had to be paid first. He had to lose to win. He had to give to get. That's God's way. It's just how it is. You're going to take up your cross for God, you're going to have to learn that principle. That first there's going to be difficulties before things come the way they should. That first you're going to have to go through a time of suffering or difficulty first. That's always God's way. You pay for something first, then you enjoy the reward and benefit of it later on. God's way, ladies and gentlemen, isn't always the easiest way. Matter of fact, sometimes it requires great sacrifice. By the way, I don't know anyone who's had to sacrifice as much as Jesus did or give up as much as he would give up. Philippians chapter 2 said he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself even unto the death of the cross, the Bible says. I don't know if God's ever asked that much of any of us. Give up everything, turn away from everything, be denied everything, and then after all that to come to suffer, not like Jesus did. But you know something, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to get this idea that the Christian life isn't all suffering, trouble, trials, tribulation. It's not how it is. It just isn't. But it is some part of the program, isn't it? Excuse me, you do have to give up some things, you know. Not to become a Christian, but because you are one. You don't sacrifice to be a child of God. That sacrifice has already been made. Jesus has sacrificed his salvation. But once you get saved, hey, you know it's interesting how that Jesus always had this mob that followed him. Great crowd. Till they started preaching some of the stuff I'm preaching to you from his own words. That the Christian life is going to cost you something. You lose a friend or two along the way. You won't get the applause of the world. They're not going to hand you their awards. They won't consider you a good humanitarian, a loving person, a very kind person. I'm sorry, but it just won't work like that. Hey, not everybody at work's going to think you're the neatest thing since peanut butter and sliced bread. It's just not going to work like that. Because the way of God for you to take up your cross is sometimes you have to lose to win. Sometimes you have to give to get. It's just the program. You say, well, just on that prayer alone, I don't want to take up any cross, Pastor Johnson. I was thinking about a young man who was an intern at our church many years ago. Brent Strove. How they had these little sweet kids. He had one son, three little girls. That little boy contracted cancer. And he had to watch his little son wither and die from cancer. He asked me to come down and help him to do the funeral and things when the little boy passed away. They call him Bo, was his little nickname. He's a cute little guy. Bo was about 7 years old, 6, 7 years old when he died. You see, what's that all about, Pastor Johnson? Sometimes it's part of the cross he has you bear. You know what's interesting about Brother Strove, Brent Strove, and his dear wife? You know, they never missed a beat. They just kept right on serving God and doing what they were supposed to do. Well, Pastor Johnson, if bearing my cross means something awful like that might happen to me, I don't want any part of it whatsoever. Jesus knew exactly what he faced when he came, and he came anyway because it's God's way. Sometimes you have to give to get. Sometimes you don't get what you want. It's not a bad thing. If that scares a lot of people off, then I'm sorry. But you know something, ladies and gentlemen, the idea that we take up our cross and that means sunshine and silvery seas is not reality. It's just not how it works. We must take God's way as a part of the cross. The cross of Christ was also God's work. Jesus had to die on the cross to provide the only way of salvation. One more time, Jesus is the only way of salvation. You come to him and accept him as your personal Savior, or you're not going to heaven. Period. That's his words, not mine. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, here's the wonderful thing. That means anybody, anywhere, anytime, any place can come to Jesus Christ and be saved. Because it was God's work that through the cross, salvation would be available to all mankind. We mentioned it this morning at Lord's Supper. There is no universal salvation. We're not all saved because Jesus died to save us. We can all have salvation, however. Anybody can. Any place on this planet, at any time, a sinner in repentance of faith turns to Jesus Christ, accepts Him as their Savior, that person gets saved that very moment. That's the work of God that God did through Jesus on the cross. And if you take up your cross, my friend, did you know what? God will do a work to help others through your life. That's how it works. You know what's sad today? I think one of the worst things about our day in which we live is the selfishness that people have in their lives. They don't even, Christians, child of God, going to heaven, eternal life, as saved as anybody on this planet, and they don't even care that anyone else has salvation. They do nothing about it. They never witness to anybody. They never tell another soul about Christ. They never hand out a tract. They never witness to anybody. They never give a testimony. Nothing. No one would know that they're a child of God by their life, by what they say or what they do. Can I tell you something? That's the worst kind of selfishness. That's horrible. Well, I'm not into pushing my religion on people. Then don't give them your religion. Tell them about Christ. Don't you understand, my friend? Listen to me. Don't you see this morning that the work of God, when you take up your cross, God is going to do a work through you to help others, just like He did the great work of saving us through Jesus on the cross. I believe watching us today, one of our dear loved ones on the internet is our brother Bishop, the Veterans Home. Hi, brother Bishop. You go to visit him outside his room, there's a wooden box on the outside door of all the medals that he has earned in serving his country in World War II. Years ago, we did a presentation here when he found out, he did not know, and Brother Bishop was a POW in World War II for about 20 minutes, I think. But it wasn't because it was just because he escaped and set other prisoners free. The man's a hero. That's what he is. And it interested me to see how... You would never know it in his life. And for years, he never knew. He had medals and awards and things that were given him from World War II that he had never received. Someone he knew that was with he was with in the war, same situation, found out about it, contacted Brother Bishop. Then one day here at the Board of Supervisors meeting, they were going to present him with these medals and things. And Wally Herger, our representative at the time, was going to present those. And I went down to see it. I thought, this is amazing. When I read what they had done and how they escaped and were almost killed and then set other POWs free and all this sort of stuff there and with the Nazis in Europe. Went down there to see the presentation. It was during the time of when the Iraq War was on strong. A bunch of protesters showed up. And say, well, it's right. They have a right to do that. I believe firmly if you don't want to support or don't want to stand behind our troops and stand in front of them, that's another issue. But I went down there to see them and see what went on, and there were these protesters out there with signs and things like that. And Brother and Mrs. Bishop was with us then. And I walked up there with them, and I saw these protesters with signs waving them at people and that kind of stuff. They started to disrupt the meeting inside. When Mr. Herger said, I'm just going to hear, first of all, we have a presentation to make. They wanted to interrupt and disrupt that sort of thing. I thought, well, no, that's not what free speech is. That's rude. So before the meeting got started and stuff, and they were, Brother Bishop were kind of looking around and stuff, and I said, no, I was here to see you get your award, but this morning I'm your bodyguard. So I'm going to walk you through this crowd and get you in there, and when it's done, I'll walk you out and take you back to your car. If anything happens and you see me grab someone's sign and start beating with it, you just keep on going to your car, okay? It's not a problem. There's somebody my freedoms were paid for, before I was even born. Because God did a work through them for us. Are you getting the picture of the cross thing now? Some of you still thinking, oh no, if the way of the cross is a way of loss and suffering before gain, I don't want that. No, you do. You want the gain. You want what's earned, what's received from a life that's lived for God. You don't want to miss that. And you don't want someone else to miss the work God will do through you if you will take up your cross and follow Him. He'll do a work through your life. He'll do a work that'll touch others. How sad that we don't even care. How sad that too many today just want to get theirs. They got their fire insurance, they're going to heaven, and that's all that really matters to them in their life. Shame on you! God has much to do through your life, and He will if you'll let Him. Now then, this morning, you can refuse that cross if you so desire. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross. You can refuse it. You can go to the cross and accept Christ and have eternal life and go to heaven and never do a thing for Him. God puts no strings on salvation. You don't earn it and have to keep earning it. It's given. It's a gift. It's grace. It's God. And it's amazing. And when He comes and says, now you came to the cross and received your gift of eternal life, you can turn right around and walk off and leave it if you like to. But I say unto you this morning that when you get to heaven, you'll be sorry that you refused the cross He had for you. Or you can accept that cross. But accept it willing. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. I heard a preacher, an old black preacher years ago, preach a sermon about taking up the cross God has for you. He says, if you don't deny yourself, he goes, that's going to be a heavy cross. If you don't deny yourself, he said, you won't want to bear that cross. Condemned criminals who were condemned to be crucified, one of the judgments was they had to carry their own cross to the place of execution. I guarantee you no one ever carried a cross to a place of execution with joy. No one ever said, well, boy, this is great. I get to be nailed to this cross and suffer and bleed and die of suffocation. But you see, our cross should be different. We should look at the cross Jesus died upon to give us salvation. And then when He asks us to take our cross, we should accept that gladly. So this is what He would want me to do. You can refuse it. You can accept it. And lastly, you should bear it. Some people take the cross that Jesus gives them and they carry it for a while. But when that way goes the way they don't want, and when that will is not their will, and that working they don't see exactly like they think it should be done, they put it down and say, I'm not doing this anymore. This is too much. He's asking too much from me. This is too great a demand of my life. That's how we get Sunday morning Christians. They just go to church on Sunday morning. They show up. They get a little Jesus, get a few hymns, and they go home. And that's the Christian life. Excuse me. But at one time, that wasn't the way it was. At one time, they had an attitude about, I want to do something for the Savior who loved me and gave His life for me. It's a cross we'll have to bear for the rest of our days. But see, it all depends on how you look at it, isn't it? Isn't it interesting how a picnic lunch never seems very heavy? Because you're carrying it and you're knowing, I don't care how long I have to carry this thing. When I'm done, out comes the watermelon and the cantaloupe and the red grapes and a sandwich as big as my stinking leg with meat that hangs out the side and lettuce and tomatoes and mayonnaise and mustard, maybe red onions if you're not going anywhere after that, maybe avocados. Can I get witness on the avocados? You know, carrying that picnic lunch, you're not thinking, oh, how heavy is this lunch? You're thinking, oh, when I get put this thing down, I'm eating it. And then you got sweet tea. Good old sweet tea. Texas sweet tea. Now, not that Yankee sweet tea. Texas sweet tea. Looks like maple syrup. It's real dark and sweet, and you pour it over ice. You got your glass of sweet tea. You got that sandwich the size of your right calf. And you're holding that thing with a bag of chips, and there's all that fruit for whatever you want it for. You got all that stuff down there. And then some, you know the end down there in the bottom somewhere, somebody made a banana pudding. Yes, it's down there in the ice, chilled and waiting for you. And even though you have to share it with insects, I hate eating outside. You don't care how much the thing weighs because you're going somewhere and you know the good that's going to come out of that. See, Pastor Johnson, are you trying to draw an analogy between the cross and the picnic lunch? Yes. Because quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, when we get that, woe is me, every one of us have to carry our cross. That thing gets heavy after a while, doesn't it? Oh, the woe is me. I lost a friend. Oh, the cross. Let him bear his cross. Let's make sure this morning that we do just what he asks us to do. We take up our cross and follow him. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.